is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Hussaina Khani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now at the Hudson Institute. And Bill Rajo of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy is a senior fellow keeping the Long War Journal and his podcast, Generation Jihad. Hussaina, I come to you because the human scale of the catastrophe of the flooding, once you see a photograph from a drone or a helicopter, you understand that the way of life of millions of people have been badly damaged. And as I recall, when a flood comes, it wrecks everybody's understanding of the agricultural cycle, can do for several generations. It also damages all the businesses to carry on transportation. But the most stressing right now is that the malnutrition for the children, and in other words, generations are being damaged. Since last we talked, has there been any sizable commitment by the World Bank or the IMF to make up what is necessary in order to repair the damage, if not just to feed people?
The international community has been supportive of Pakistan, but the size of the support is not even close to the size of the damage. 33 million people are still either homeless, are living in makeshift sort of tent villages, or they have returned to homes that have been damaged beyond repair, so basically flattened homes or homes that have been washed away. Children are suffering from malnutrition. UNICEF has pointed out, the United Nations Children's Emergency Fund has pointed out how many children have been affected. The World Bank says Pakistan will need $40 billion for rehabilitation and reconstruction. Infrastructure has been damaged, as you rightly pointed out. Transportation will not be easily possible. The farms have been destroyed. But then there's going to be second-tier effects as well, because the cotton crop has been destroyed, and that will affect Pakistan's textiles, which is the country's single biggest export sector. And yet, the international support that is coming in is only in hundreds of millions, not billions. So $40 billion are estimated to be needed, and only a couple of billion dollars have been raised. Now, Pakistan has asked China to delay its debt repayment on about $6.3 billion of debt. Pakistan may be able to get some reprieve from other countries as well, to whom Pakistan owes money, but that will only be a temporary arrangement of not falling into default. It will not be the solution to rehabilitation and reconstruction problems resulting from the flood.
Bill, I come to you because of a conversation you had with your colleague about the Al-Qaeda network and the chain of command since Zawahiri's death. Right now, if I understand correctly, there is no single person named. Are there successor candidates? And how do they choose their leadership, given what you'd have to say their disorganized center without Zawahiri?
It's a great question, John. And so typically there's a 40-day mourning period after an Al-Qaeda, top Al-Qaeda leader is killed. We saw that with Osama bin Laden. And we've seen this with the head of the branches of Al-Qaeda being killed. And then after that, what Al-Qaeda, it does is it gathers its top leadership committee and it selects a leader. Al-Qaeda, it's obviously Zawahiri was killed at the end of July, so we're well beyond that 40 days. Why hasn't Al-Qaeda announced a leader? Well, I would say it's very likely that they have chosen a leader and they just haven't made it public. They very likely distributed that internally. Now, so why would Al-Qaeda not make this public at this time? I think there's a couple of issues that probably are delaying this. First and foremost, they have to deal with the issue of where Zawahiri was killed. This is a big embarrassment to the Taliban, which promised in that deal said that it wasn't going to shelter Al-Qaeda. Then we have Al-Qaeda's top leader killed in Kabul, being sheltered by the Haqqani network. You know, again, the deputy emir of the Taliban and interior minister lead the Haqqani network. So it's embarrassment for the Taliban. There's probably operational security issues there too, John. Al-Qaeda's got to figure out, you know, it wants to make sure its next leader isn't killed. It wants to figure out what went wrong in this. And this is something typical we see. We've seen this with the bin Laden documents, where they're constantly trying to reevaluate how to keep their leadership secure. And then there's another issue too. If the leader, the very likely successors are Saif al-Adel and Abdul al-Rahman al-Maghrebi, and both of them are known to have sheltered in Iran, and both may be in Iran to this day.
We have 30 seconds, Bill. 30 seconds.
If they're in Iran, this creates problems for both Iran and al-Qaeda. For al-Qaeda, it's a problem. The Islamic State can use it against them. And Iran doesn't want to be seen as sheltering the emir of al-Qaeda.
So, therefore, they have not resolved how to name a leader unless and until they can solve the Iran problem. Is that correct, Bill?
If that is the case, we don't know where they are. But again, I think they've picked their leader. I just think their problem is how do they make it right. public so it isn't an embarrassment to everyone?
Bill Rajo, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, Senior Fellow, Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now at the Hudson Institute. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,